and welcome to the Saturday Splash here on 94.5 WGTK The Answer. I'm your host, Maddie, joined by host Lynn.
Hello, I'm host Lynn.
Hello, host Lynn. How are you doing today?
I'm grand. Yourself?
I'm good. Wide awake on this beautiful Saturday morning.
We love Saturday mornings.
We do. They're great. You know what's so great about the Saturday morning?
Tell me.
Saturday Splash.
We love it.
You're tuned in. Hey, today is an extra special day. Not that every day here isn't special, but we have some very good friends today here. We were joined by Chuck LaGrange and Zach Peterson from Greater Greenville Sanitation, and they are big partners of ours at Soil and Water, and we have had the tremendous fortune to get to work closely with them over the last couple of years, and they're going to tell us a little bit about what they do. So, hey, Chuck and Zach, welcome.
Hello, and
hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, so let's talk about you. Who are you? What do you do?
We're still trying to figure that out. No, I am Chuck LaGrange. I'm the Public Affairs Officer for Greater Greenville Sanitation.
Oh, and I'm Zach Peterson. I'm the Educational Media Coordinator for Greater Greenville Sanitation.
Greater Greenville Sanitation. That sounds clean. What is that? You're a cleaning service, right?
Yes, it's the exact opposite. No, we are essentially a garbage company. We're a special purpose district. We've been around since 1968. We service garbage, recycling, commercial, residential operations throughout Greenville County. Mostly we service right now 52,000 customers every week. Our service district, if you can visualize something, we form like a crescent around the city of Greenville. We can go all the way up to Taylor's, all the way to the county line, and then all the way south to 185.
So you got a lot of ground to cover. How many trash cans do you have?
A lot of trash cans.
A lot. That's a very specific number.
Yes.
Tens of hundreds.
Wow.
But that's an interesting story, because not only are they in the district, but I have seen them in Spartanburg. I have seen them a little bit everywhere. So they walk. So that answer is, it's a lot.
A lot. Oh, that's good. Yeah, I'm a former Greater Greenville Sanitation customer. Now I live in the city. Sorry, guys.
It's cool. Okay.
That's cool.
If you open a business, we can provide you service.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind. Cool. So services. What kind of services do you guys provide?
Well, like I said, basically we provide garbage, commercial, residential garbage collection, once a week collection. For commercial companies, obviously that's different depending on their needs. We do curbside recycling, and we also do green waste collection.
So it's your fault we can't recycle glass, right?
As much as I would.
As much as people want to blame you guys for
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of we get that question all the time. And, you know, we were one of the first groups out there that started collecting glass in Greenville County at the curbside. And unfortunately, the economics of glass, especially for the state, just did not work out. The one facility that was available to be able to process it closed down. So when it closed down, the economics and the scale of it got a little bit too much, not only for us, but for a whole bunch of other folks in South Carolina.
It's heavy. I mean, what's your option now? Ship it across the border somewhere. And that's glass is very heavy. Glass is expensive to ship.
It is. It mm-hmm. is. Your options really are Georgia, North Carolina. At this point, I can tell you that DHEC is looking to potentially create a series of transfer points around the state, so that instead of going all the way to, you know, Georgia or North Carolina, we can make it a little bit more equitable and get to maybe a transfer collection point in, let's say, Greenville County.
All right. So we are making progress towards getting glass recycling back.
Yes.
No fear, people. Greater Greenville didn't do this to you. The county didn't do this to you. Listen, we're all on the same team. We're trying really hard.
Exactly.
We get the blame a lot, too.
Exactly.
Why'd the county stop this? Well, the county didn't do anything.
We know.
I know you know. So you do green waste recycling, too. What happens with that? So this is like your leaves, branches, trees, things like that, the outdoor stuff.
Sure. We collect a lot of that stuff, and then we typically have a third-party vendor that we work with that comes out and grinds most of it into mulch or another byproduct. The remainder of it, we take it to the landfill. And if you've ever visited Twin Chimneys and you've ever gone and taken some of their mulch, 9 times out of 10 is probably some of the green waste that we collect there. We collect and deposit there.
That's awesome. So it gets reused.
Yes.
It doesn't just go sit in the landfill forever.
Well, some of it does. But for the most part, the vast majority, we do our best to go ahead and recycle that so that we can conserve that landfill space.
That's awesome. Any tips or tricks for people with their green waste, their recycling? What are we doing right? What are we doing wrong?
Well, I mean, there are a couple things that, you know, I started doing since I joined Greater Greenville Sanitation that I didn't even know about before. For example, I could never get grass to grow under my tree. And I spent tons of money on seeds and fertilizers and everything of that nature. And then, you know, eventually someone said, well, instead of raking all those leaves in the fall, why don't you just mulch them? And that has been one of the best things that I've ever done. Instead of just putting them at the curb, mulching them back in the soil, it makes for an inexpensive, free way to introduce those nutrients back into the soil. And we encourage our customers to do that. Leaves are probably the biggest obstacle we have when collecting green waste. When leaf season hits, we could bury Greenville in leaves, and we start to get behind at some point. So we encourage customers, you know, this is an excellent organic fertilizer that you can reuse right in your yard, and it would help us by speeding up the collection for the stuff you can't use.
I can attest to that. This year, I raked up all my leaves, and I put them ahead of all this bare soil. The neighbors built a house, and they left a lot of bare soil in our yard. So I put the leaves over the soil, over that soil, and now it is quickly becoming just this beautiful, beautiful soil. And I cannot wait to see what grows in it in the spring.
Oh yeah,
yeah, great. Cool. All right. What about recyclables? The contamination is a big problem in recycling, isn't it?
Yes. We have done a good job of, I think, reducing the contamination in our recycling. You know, typically, we for those people that collect recyclables separately, so they'll separate paper or glass or plastic, your contamination levels are much lower. However, more groups are moving towards single stream. We're single stream. The problem with that, people look at, you know, plastic and they go, well, it's got the recycling symbol underneath, so absolutely you can take it. And that's not always true. And that's going to vary by vendor. For example, Solo Cups. They have a recycling symbol underneath them. Unfortunately, our vendor will not process Solo Cups. So
I've been putting Solo Cups in my recycling. Well, have I ruined it?
No, you're in the city. Ooh. So you may be using a different vendor. I can tell you for us that leads to some sort of contamination at some point.
Okay. What about, let's say, I've always wondered about this. If I have like a can of beans and I don't rinse my beans and they get all moldy, does that contaminate a load?
Not really. I mean, okay. A lot of that is volume. But if you take that one can and you mix that in 10 tons of cans, it'll never show up.
You should still rinse your cans, though.
Yes.
Cool. Let's talk about your sustainable school program.
Sure. Well, I won't take up all of the time because Zach is here, and I think I'll let Zach kind of talk a little bit more about what he does in the program itself.
Well, you're so eloquent. I mean, I don't mind listening to you three. So our sustainable schools program is, we developed it to, I guess, bring the types of practices that we do as a company to schools and share that with young adults. All the programs that are inside of our sustainable schools program, we have worked with a council of teachers to make sure that they are STEM and STEAM certified, that the types of experiences we're offering supplement and complement a teacher's curriculum versus detract from it, because their time is precious these days. So we plan on branching that out moving forward into elementary, middle, and high school programs that really try to hit home the importance of sustainable practices.
Cool. So what's an example of one of the programs you might do with your students to encourage sustainability?
The main one is our waste lab.
Oh, and we will get to that. We've got a whole segment on that next. But let me tell you all, this thing is super cool. Okay, cool. So do you assist schools with recycling programs?
Yes, we do. Sure do.
Good.
Yeah, you know, our sustainable schools program, you know, it's one of those things where as a public service agency, we're primarily taxpayer funded, and we feel it's important to get ahead of the curve in terms of conservation. And we want to make sure that we are doing our part in terms of educating not only the public, but especially the kids, because, you know, they are the residents of tomorrow. And we want to make sure that they take a much more conservative approach to waste minimization. But like you said, Waste Lab is our flagship project. It's about a year old. We are very excited about that. And it's one of many things that we do from just the conservation and sustainability perspective.
Awesome. Well, we're going to talk about Waste Lab after the break here. And let me tell you guys, oh, I can't wait. This thing is so cool. You're listening to the Saturday Splash here on 94.5 WGTK, The Answer.